Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Exodus 19. This week we are kicking off a new series, which I wanted to start at the beginning of January. Didn't happen. And then the Lord said, no, we're going to push this thing back. And so we're finally kicking off this new series titled, are you ready for this? OSX Commandments. All right. Now, some of you geeky people out there that like Mac computers, you would kind of get what this is, you know, the OSX operating system, right? Well, this is OSX, not Mavericks or Yosemite. It's OSX Commandments. It's the operating system for the Christian life, all right? X means 10, OS, 10 commandments. All right, you guys are sitting there looking at me like, dude, that guy's crazy. So anyways, we're going to be walking through a series on the 10 commandments. You're like, what? Are you serious? We're walking through the 10 commandments. Isn't that Old Testament? Yes, it is. But there is so much life in the 10 commandments. And I'm very excited about this series. As a matter of fact, we're walking through the 10 commandments, not just in here, but all of our classes downstairs, we're going to be walking through together at the same time the different commandments. So, you know, if you've got little ones on the way home, you can be talking about, what did you learn? Oh, I learned about that too. And so it'll be this great opportunity to kind of talk with your kids about what we're all together learning in church. Now, there might be different ways in which they are taught them or learn them in a sense, but overall it's the same thing. And so I'm very excited about that. First time we've ever done that where we're kind of walking through the same thing as a church together. And so over the next 12 weeks, we're going to be taking a close look at the Ten Commandments. What do they mean for us today, right? This is Old Testament stuff. Is that relevant for today? You know, what does it mean for us today? Why did God even give these commandments to His people? Why did He give them to us? Because I know many people view the Ten Commandments as nothing other than rules and regulations that just put a damper on their fun. Seriously, a lot of people are like, what? Are you serious, man? We can't have any fun as Christians. What's up with that? Right? They see these commandments as like these chains, right? That hold them down and keep them from running free and experience all that life has for them. But here's the thing. I hope that over the next several weeks that we will come to realize that these commandments are really completely opposite of these views that so many people have of them. And I hope that we can discover together as we walk through this that they are really about God's love for His people. How much He loves us. As a matter of fact, Ron Mell, one of my favorite pastors, you know, he said this, I really believe the Ten Commandments are as much about love as John 3:16 is. It's a pretty powerful statement, but I hope that we can discover this together. Discover that they're really a tender, heartfelt message written to us by God Himself. God wrote these Ten Commandments with His own finger on these stone tablets for us because He loves us. And they were given to us to help us become the people that He created us to be. The reality is these commandments, when obeyed, will actually bring freedom to our lives, not bondage. But I think for us to fully understand the love behind these commandments, we need to go back to the conversation that God had with Moses before He gave him the commandments to give to His people. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to read out of Exodus 19. We're going to just read four verses, verses 3 through 6. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we're going to read that this morning. Starting in verse 3, it says this, "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel.'" Verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. This is God speaking to Moses right before he's about to give them the Ten Commandments. And he wants to remind them of all that he's done for them. And you see, here's the thing. These things that God's talking to Moses about, the Israelites, they would know. They would know exactly what God was referring to. You see, when they were trapped in Egypt, when they were in bondage with no place to go, when they were treated poorly by their captors, by the Egyptians, and when they were crying out to God for help, guess what? God heard their cries. And God came and He rescued them. How about when they were standing on the shore of the Red Sea with this huge body of water in front of them? They're trapped because they look to their back and they see Pharaoh and his army fast approaching, ready to destroy them. No place to go. God showed up and He made a way by parting the Red Sea for them to cross to the other side, and He destroyed Pharaoh and his army. When they were in the desert without food, without water, God gave them bread from heaven, manna, right? Manna burgers, manna whatever, you know, Keith Green song, right? He gave them manna from heaven, and He caused water to come up out of the ground for them. You see, God wanted them to remember these things. He wanted them to remember, before He gave them these commandments, He wanted them to remember how much He loved them. He then went on to talk there about carrying them on eagle's wings. Now the question is, what does that mean? What carry them on eagle's wings? What is he talking about? You know, you got to be an Eagle Scout, right? To understand that, or look up, you know, pull out the Boy Scout guy. What does that even mean? He carried them on eagle's wings. I had to look this up. I had to study this. Well, eagles, we know, are pretty amazing creatures, right? You know, they're these beautiful, majestic creatures. As a matter of fact, I love every once in a while when I'm up at Basket Slough, I get to see some bald eagles, you know. And a lot of times I see them perched up in the trees, but I love when you get to see them soaring over the top of the trees. It's like, oh my gosh, that is so awesome, you know. You just see these bald eagles soaring. It's this beautiful, beautiful sight. And I don't know if you've ever seen an eagle's nest. They're pretty big things, right? As a matter of fact, I Googled eagle's nest, right? And I found out that the average eagle's nest is about 5 to 6 feet in diameter. So right here, I have a 6 foot wingspan, okay? So an eagle's nest, you know, it about the size of the stage almost, right? You know, you've got an eagle's nest like a 5 to 6 diameter span, okay? And then they're about 3 foot deep, which I'm 6 foot, so about half of me, okay? So these are some big nests that these eagles are in. But I found out that's just the average. I found out the biggest eagle nest ever recorded, ever found, it was St. Petersburg, Florida. It was somewhere in Florida. But the largest one was 9.5 feet wide, okay? So that's another 3.5 feet longer than me in diameter. And get this, 20 feet deep, okay? Now, we were walking last week preparing for our run, and with my family, we were out for a walk, and I started talking. We had seen a baby, or a nest up there, a small nest. I say a baby nest because compared to an eagle's, it was tiny. And I started talking about this, and my wife's like, why in the world would they need it to be 20 feet deep, you know? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, maybe the high winds or whatever, and this mama just wants to make sure her baby eagles are protected, right? But anyways, this huge 20-foot, that's the biggest one. I mean, you probably wouldn't even be able to get out of this thing, right? We would be stuck in there. But that's the biggest one. It's a humongous thing. But I found that mamas will fill the bottom of these nests with leaves, with fur, with even down from her own chest to make it soft and comfortable for her little baby eaglets, all right? And she makes this as comfortable as she can for them for the time. But there comes a time when she starts making things a little bit uncomfortable for them, okay? And it starts when she grabs it by the back of the neck and flies up to the highest of heights, okay? Soars up, who knows how high. And then what does the mama do? She lets go of the baby eaglet, right? And the little eagle, it's like, is up there. It's like, whoa, this is cool. Look, I'm flying, you know? And then all of a sudden, whoop, mom's like, and then it's like, whoa, what's happening? You know, you can just imagine that what's going through this little eagle's head, right, as it begins to fall. Mama must have accidentally dropped me. She wouldn't do that on purpose, would she, right? You know, plummeting to the ground, falling, flapping, you know, trying to fly. You can just picture this thing, like, I mean, freaked out of its mind. Can you imagine, you know, you're going and like, this is cool, and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, you're just dropping, and you see the ground fast approaching. I can only imagine what's going through her head. But just before that little eaglet becomes a stain on the earth's surface, what does its mom do? Its mom swoops down and picks it up on its wing and carries it on eagle's wing and takes it right back up to do the exact same thing again, to drop it, right? And as it's plummeting to the ground, flittering, flapping, you know, trying, just before it hits the ground, mom swoops down and does it again and again, each time catching him to carry him on eagle's wings. You see, this is what the Lord is saying to Moses. Make sure they realize that even though they felt like they were falling, I was watching them. I was watching them the whole time. Make sure they realize that I have always been there to swoop in when I needed to and to carry them on eagle's wings. And the reality is, He does the same thing for us. That's what He's done for each of us. We too were heading down nowhere fast. But Jesus swooped down and saved us. We talked about this last week, Easter, right? He swooped down and He saved us. Like the people of Israel, God doesn't want us to forget what He's done for us. Now, there may be times in our life where we're not sure that He's there. We're like, God, where are You? There may be times in our life where we feel like that eagle falling, flapping our wings, going, I'm going to hit the ground. What's going on? God, You better show up, right? But like the mama eagle, the Lord will always come. He will always be there for us. And it will always be, listen to this, it'll always be at the right time, okay? Never early. Many of us, we wish He'd be a little bit earlier, right? Wait a second, God, You could have come earlier. But He's never early, but also, and this is the beauty, He's never late. He's never late. He's always right on time. You see, and the reason He allows these things to happen is because God is all about developing us. He's all about helping us grow. That's what the mama eagle is doing. She's not doing it to torture. She's not like, hey, check this. I love to torture my little eaglets, right? You know, watch this, you know. And, you know, it's not like she's trying to impress friends and take them up and drop them. No, she's doing this to help them learn how to fly, right? To help them grow, to develop them. And that's what God is doing for us. He loved the people of Israel, and He was leading them step by step, test by test, trial by trial. Why? So that they would be ready for what comes next. That's the mama eagle. She's preparing them for what's next. They need to learn how to fly when something comes after them. They need to learn how to fly in this big world. And the same thing is true for us. Now, we may question how He does it at times, right? We may feel alone at times, but we have to remember God is there. God is watching. And when the time is right, He will always swoop in to carry us on His wings, and to take us to places that we never thought or imagined that we could ever go. And He does this because, why? Because He loves us. Again, I'm going to always reference back to Joshua's message. God's motivated by love, right? He does this because He loves us. He does this, or He gave us the Ten Commandments because He loves us. The Ten Commandments really are all about His love. They're about His care and love for us as a father. I'm a father, okay? And as a father, I love my kids. I do. I really do. I love my kids so much. And I want what's best for them. And the reality is, when they first come into this world, they don't know what's best for them, okay? They think candy, that's best. No, right? They don't know what's best for them. The fact is, they have no understanding of right or wrong. And more often than not, they're going to choose the wrong, right? So as a father who loves my kids, I love them, I've done my best to teach them what I know. I've done my best to love them in a way that will keep them safe and help them from knowing right from wrong. Now to do this, my wife and I, we have to set up some rules. We have to set up some guidelines. Let me just give you kind of an example here. When Toby and Emma were little, we had a gas fireplace, you know, with the glass on the front. And when they were little, the glass fireplace was off limits, right? They couldn't touch it. That was a no-no, right? You know, as they come close, no, that's a no-no, you know. And they knew when they got close, you know, our voice got a little stern, and they knew that was a no. They couldn't touch the fireplace. Now, the thing is, 50% of the time, touching that fireplace wouldn't have hurt them. They'd have been like, I did it. It didn't do anything to me, right? But the other 50% of the time, it would have fried their little hands. The glass got so hot, you know, it would burn them. Now, did we create this rule of not touching the fireplace to torture our kids? To keep them from having fun? No, we did it. Why? To protect them. Because we knew what would happen to them if they touched it. It's what any loving parent would do. It's having those boundaries to protect them, to keep them safe. We set up these rules because we know what the consequences would be if we didn't have these rules. The fact is, there are many rules we've set up for our kids. Because whether they want to admit it or not, mama and dada, daddy, dada, I've never said that before, mama and daddy, we know what's best, whether they want to believe it or not. And whether we want to admit it or not, God, He knows what's best for each of us. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. They were given to us to guide us and to direct us and to help protect us. Right? God gave them to us to teach us right from wrong. And let's be honest, our world right now is pretty confused when it comes to what's right and what's wrong, right? The lines are becoming more and more blurry in today's culture when we talk about right from wrong. You know, just turn on the news and you'll figure out that our world a lot of times doesn't even have a clue between what's right and what's wrong. And it's only because we've gotten farther and farther away from God's Word. We've gotten farther and farther away from His commands. We failed to obey His words of love, His commands that were given us out of love. And so because of that, many people are wandering around dazed and confused, trying to figure out why things aren't working, why things are the way that they are. And God is simply saying to us, here's my word. Let me remove the confusion. I have the answer for you. Open up the word and see these commands that I give you. I give them to you because I love you and I want you to see the truth. I want to protect you and see you become who you were intended to be from the beginning of time. Over the next several weeks, we're going to walk through each of these Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, I want to take a moment to share these Ten Commandments with you real quick. I'm just going to give you these. We're not going to hit one of them today. But I want to do this because the reality is, many of us don't even know what they are, right? What, Ten Commandments? That's Old Testament stuff. I only focus on New Testament. No, the Bible is the Bible. Let's focus on the Bible, okay? Yes, there's great things in the New Testament. There's new life for us, but we need to see it all. And so I want to share with you real quick the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm not going to say a lot about them because we'll do that over the next few weeks. So the first commandment is this: you shall have no other gods before me. God wants to be first in our life. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Number two, you shall not make idols. Okay? And this is, we make and we worship all sorts of idols in this world. You're like, I don't you know, build these gold graven images in my house. You know, no, idols go far beyond that in today's world, okay? Our cars, our jobs, there's so many things that can become idols. And so we can't make these idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Whoa, just listen to the conversations that happen around us every day, right? How about number four? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Pastors mess this one up a lot. Well, I work on the Sabbath. I can't take that day off. We have to have a Sabbath. That's why Fridays, you can't get a hold of me. Friday's my Sabbath, all right? But we have to do that. We have to remember and keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Wow. Look around in our middle school and high school. Sorry, youth, it's not you guys. I'm sure you guys are all perfect, the ones in here. But look around. How many are honoring? Parents are like, yeah, right. How many of us, and not even that, what about us parents? We become ourselves older, and we think, I know it now, I don't need to honor my parents, my father and mother anymore. I mean, reality is, we don't do a good job of honoring the ones who created us, all right? Whether the God of Creator, we don't do a good job of honoring Him, and we don't do a good job of the mom and dad that created us, all right? But honoring our father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Now you're like, well, I would never murder anyone, but wait till you see when we get into this what Jesus' view of murder is today, all right? It's not exactly what you think. It's not, you know, all right? It's a little bit different today. Or you shall not commit adultery. It's happening all throughout our world, all right? Go check out the college campuses. It's all over the place. You shall not steal. We do it all the time. You know, come on. Taking a pin from church. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking on that one. I walk out with pins from here all the time. My wife is like always collecting church pins. And like, Darren, you've done it again. There's like 20 pins here from the church. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying there are things that we just, it's not a big deal. Oh, just to do this, it's not a big deal. We'll get into that in week 8 there. But number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Again, this is lying. Many of us have a lot of trouble with lying. Verse 10, you shall not covet, right? How many of us don't look at the neighbor's house or the car or this and go, man, I wish I had that. That's unfair. They got that. I don't. I mean, we covet. These are things we have to work on because they lead us down paths that take us away from the Lord. You see, here's the thing. In each of these commands, the reality is we actually see God's great love and affection for each of us. And we're gonna hit on that as we go through each of them. These commandments, whether we realize it or not, will ultimately keep us from destroying our lives. That's why He gave us, because He knows when we do these things, it destroys our lives. Following these commands can literally open up doors that we never imagined, can literally help us live lives that we never thought that we could live. You see, God knows our potential. And He knows how that potential can be accomplished when we walk in His ways. The problem is we struggle with His ways, right? We struggle with these commands He's given us. We struggle to see how they can help our lives, because for most people, again, they just seem to hold us down. They just seem to hamper us. They seem to make things boring and less fun, right? But think about this. Why would God bring His people out of slavery, right? Because He's about to give this to the people of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery, all these things. Why would He, after just bringing them out of slavery, why would He do that just to then put them into bondage? Why would He carry them on eagle's wings just to carry them into a prison, right? Because that's the way we envision it. The Ten Commandments aren't just about a bunch of rules and regulations given to torture us and make our lives miserable. The Ten Commandments are God's loving guidance to help us understand right from wrong, to help us understand how much He truly loves us. They're the words of a loving father warning his children about the consequences that come from touching the hot glass of the fireplace, right? As I talked about earlier with my own kids, they're warning us of those things that we fail to understand in this journey of life. I want to read just one other passage to you this morning. It's a passage we're all familiar with. I actually have it to put up on the screen here. It's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Let me read it to you. It says this. We've heard this before. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God is the creator of all things. If anyone should know what's best for us, it should be Him, right? He understands things that we could never comprehend with our human minds. His thoughts are higher than ours. And yes, the reality is that God's ways are often backwards from the ways of the world. But His thoughts are far above the thoughts and understanding of this world. And we can't forget what happened to Adam and Eve when they decided to follow the ways of the world, right? You see, God's command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was all about love. It was all about His love for Adam and Eve. He knew what failing to live out this one command, they only had one command, right? Now we have 10. Thanks, Adam and Eve. One command. He knew what failing to just keep that one command would bring to their lives, would bring to all mankind. It wasn't just them that were affected. We were all affected by it. And the same is true of these 10 commandments. They're all about His love for us and His desire for us to experience the life He has for us. And so I hope that you're as excited as I am to walk through these 10 commandments over the next 10 weeks and discover how they demonstrate His amazing love for each of us. Not the bondage, not the rules and the regulations. No, His love for each and every one of us. That's what they're about. And if we can discover that, we're going to see these 10 commandments in a whole new light. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You've given us Your Word to guide us and direct us. You've given us these commands, Lord, because You love us. Lord, these commands aren't rules and regulations to keep us from having fun. Yeah, in the world's eyes, yes, they hold us back. But in reality, Lord, they give us way more freedom than the people of this world ever experience. They give us life in and through You, Lord. Lord, I pray that over the next several weeks as we walk through Your commandments, that we begin to realize that Your commandments really are about love. They're about the love of a father who desires to protect His little ones. Lord, that You've given us these commands because You know what happens when we don't follow them. You know the destruction and the hurt and the pain that it brings, Lord, not just to our lives, but to our families, to those around us, Lord, that it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us. In the same way that Adam and Eve's failure infected the entire world, Lord, our failures affect those around us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just continue to work in our heart. Continue to challenge us to be who You've called us to be, to live the lives that You have called us to live, Lord Jesus, to seek You, to love You, to follow You, to walk in Your commands, Lord. And that, Lord, that we begin to discover that as we do that, the love and the life that we experience. Lord, we don't want to be the kids that keep touching the glass, that walk around life with these burnt hands, Lord, that walk around scarred and bruised because of our own stupidity, Lord, our own inability to follow the commands that you've put before us to protect us, to care for us, Lord. So, Lord, may we see these things in that way. May we experience, Lord, your love in a new way over this series, Lord. May you help us even today as we walk out of this place, Lord, to have new eyes to see and to understand your love for us in your word and the commands that you've given to us, Lord. So we thank you for these things, and we give them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.